What is this? What is this? Oh man! I did it again!
But.
Will somebody please press start?
And thank you for joining us at Grace Junkies. This time on Grace Junkies, we are discussing what it means to us that our very lives are or can be considered a ministry. This is part one of a two-part program. Your host is Brad McFadden, and joining tonight's discussion are Larry, Luke, and myself, Tim. If you'd like comment on this or any other show, we invite you to visit our website at www.gracejunkies.com. Without further ado, I present your host, Brad McFadden.
All right, well, welcome to Grace Junkies. And tonight, we're going to discuss what My Life Ministries, because Grace Junkies is a part of My Life Ministries. We're going to discuss what that means. What does it mean that our lives are ministries? And what does it mean as a group that we come together under the banner of My Life Ministries? I mean, what effectively can we do towards this cause? So, let's start it off with the person who wants to talk the hardest, the most, the worst, and that is Luke. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
Well, I was thinking about this about 5 minutes before this all started because I only figured out what we were talking about. And personally, I think the part or the dynamic that is my life as a ministry is encompassed in my relationship with God and how that reflects outwardly. So the way I see it is that God doesn't like to keep himself secret in that sense. He wants to show himself to be powerful, wants to show himself to be who he is. And if my relationship with him is in correct order, then that will be reflected in my life. And therefore, I will, in a sense, be a walking ministry. Now, what actually happens in that, or whether I decide to direct it in certain ways, that's not something that I personally do, but I allow whatever comes my way in my life to be guided or to be, I can't think of the word, to be, you know, I approach that, try to approach that in light of what God says about those things, what God would have me do in that situation. That doesn't always work correctly. I do get it wrong. But my life as a ministry, I think, is the way that I live, and the way that I live out of the public eye, or, you know, my private persona, will be reflected in what I do in public. And if my relationship with God is, you know, if I'm in the right place with God, then, you know, I believe that that shows. Now, whether I actually see the effects of it sometimes I don't, but I know that there is a reflection there and people do see it. To what extent that affects them, you know, I don't always know, but, you know, I think the crux of the matter is that if our relationship with God is, you know, in the right place, or it's flowing and our hearts are right, then basically that will be reflected in our lives and we, in a sense, become the ministry. Now, whether that ministry is such and such or this or that or whatever, I don't think, to me, it doesn't really matter as long as it's appropriate for the right time and the right place. And as far as I've ever seen, it's always been that way. But I think pretty much that's the way I see it. You know, it's me and my relationship with God, and hopefully it touches someone else's life, and hopefully God's glorified in the things that I do, you know, and when I get it wrong, that, you know, it gets sorted out. So, there.
That sounds good. That's great. Mm. So, just in a nutshell, so your relationship with God and how it reflects, and how that relationship reflects on others to God's glory. I think that's great, Luke. I looked up the definition of ministry while you were talking, just because I wanted a solid definition of it. You know, something outside of what was outside of my mind, really. And it says the service, functions, or profession of a minister of religion. It says the body or class of ministers of religion. And I don't know if I agree with the second definition. The first one I take more to heart, although I think. We're all commanded to be ministers of religion, ministers of the gospel, which is I guess, a religion. So I think the first definition fits very well. Why don't we go to Larry? Larry.
Well, actually, you know, the dictionary definition of ministry, of course, falls right in line with, well, what does it mean to be a minister at a church as, you know, a function? And certainly that's a valid definition, but not, of course, what you were looking at. We've been studying mission and ministry in my Bible study. Actually, our whole church has been studying that this Lent as a set of studies and teachings. And we were making a distinction between mission, which is outreach to unbelievers to spread the gospel, and ministry, which is building, you know, acts of service that you do to build up other Christians and to build up the church. And I guess both those, mission and ministry, would fall into, I think, the broader concept of mission or of ministry that you were thinking of. Luke was addressing the question of every Christian's life as a ministry, but you know, we also have specific things that we do, you know, organized activities that we engage in to serve church, to serve believers, or to spread the gospel to unbelievers. And those are, I think, the kinds of ministries that we think of when we think of My Life Ministries as a collective ministry.
Mm.
So there's a whole lot of different ways you can think of the word of the term ministry.
Yeah.
If I can interrupt.
Go ahead.
There is organized ministries, which are organizations of people who are pretty much dedicated to a common goal of meeting some kind of need or ministering to people in a certain plight, condition, area, location, specific needs, whatever. And then there's what we call the My Life Ministries, which is the every single Christian has a ministry, whether that be in the case of my wife for a while, she said, my ministry is my home where I help my family, I raise my kids, I teach them about Jesus, I give my, you know, I cook food, I clean house. These are all things I do to help my family. So that's my ministry. And that was her ministry for a while, was her house ministry, you know, just to her family. But then the organized ministries like, you know, Jungle Medic or, you know, Youth on the Family or Seeds for the Harvest or whatever it is, these have specific goals outside of what they, of the everyday common life that they lead, of the people who are a part of it lead. My ministry right now, I'm a part of Seeds for the Harvest, obviously. I go to Russia. I work with children in orphanages. That's my kind of exterior formal ministry. But right now, I still work full-time, and it's my day-to-day living my life-type ministry just to let people know I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. If they ask, here's why. And it's funny that over time, what I have found is if you tell people I'm a Christian and, you know, if you hear about something they're going through and you tell them at one point, I understand you're going through this problem. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? You know, oh, yeah, they get a comfortable chuckle. Sure, that'd be fine, Tim. But then they'll come back later and say, you know, my mom's really sick, and I don't know if I will believe in all this, but, you know, Tim, you prayed for me before. Would you pray for my mother? Yeah, absolutely. You know, of course I will. I'll help you by praying for your mother. That's a kind of a day-to-day ministry of living, just living our lives, being Christians, being who we are in Christ, and letting that show. You know, God says, and they will know you. They will know you by your love. And that's what I think part of the main focus of our day-to-day, my life ministry day-to-day, is to show God's love, not mine, because I don't have enough. You know, if we're relying on me, we're in trouble. But if I let God's love, which He fills me up with, pour out of me on other people, they'll know you by your love. That is a huge ministry right there.
I agree. All right, well, I think that that's a good point. I think everybody's made at least one good point so far. I just want to throw in my two cents since we're kind of don't have a lot of people just waiting to talk. I think that when I started My Life Ministries, and My Life Ministries started years and years ago, when the Lord first put it into my mind that my life was a ministry, and even in that very thought, even in that very realization and revelation, I had the idea. It was almost like a fun idea. It wasn't a serious thing that I intended to do, but it was this idea that I would get a shirt that said "My Life Ministries" on it. that somebody then could come on and they would start a conversation. You know, somebody would ask me about it, and it would be a way to tell them about the Lord. So even back then, I had this idea of this My Life Ministries, but I never really back then intended it to be anything bigger than just mine, or just me. I mean, or the Lord through me. But when it became a more serious thought in the summer before, when me and Chaz were talking about what we were going to do with the podcast and how we were going to, what we do with the community that built around the podcast, that's when the Lord brought it back up to me and really stressed in me that a sort of monastic idea. And when I mean monastic, one of the definitions that I really like of monastic life is of or pertaining to a devoted manner of living or a dedicated manner of living. And that's, Tim says he has a full-time job, but he also has his ministry. You know, my idea and how I try to view my life is that I work 8 hours a day, but I have a full-time ministry, you know. So it's almost, it's like I have this job that it takes up 8 hours of my day, but my ministry is full-time all the time. Mm. And some of that I have to keep in check because I don't want to take away from my employer or steal from my employer in time. But at the same time, it's hard not to minister when people need you. And even if they contact you at work, it's hard not to take 5 or 10 minutes and try to say something. So I try to keep a balance there, and I try to keep myself honest with God and what He wants me to do. I mean, He gave me the job anyway, so. But I think we all, my point here is that we all have, I mean, Luke is an artist for a living, and I know we all have jobs. I know we all have ways that we bring in income that are not directly from tithe or from donations. So in that manner, we support ourselves, but so did Paul. I mean, Paul didn't take any money that we know of to support himself. He says strictly that he worked building tents, and he wrote to the Corinthians, remember that we worked the whole time we were there to support ourselves, so we didn't take any of your money. They took the money to the next church and so on and so forth. Not that it's wrong to do so, but just that it doesn't mean we are less of a minister because we do not live on the money from a ministry. And I think that we do not devalue ourselves as ministers or people that can have an impact in the kingdom simply because we're not called to full-time service or that we are not able to support our families on our service.
Brad, I wonder if that isn't a really good definition of the difference between a personal life ministry and a formal ministry, and that is any ministry that takes in monies for the specific purpose of continuing to be able to fulfill a ministry from other people. You know, God calls different people to different things. Some people are called to go out into the field and do something and need to be supported by others, and God calls others to support them. So maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe that's a really good definition of the difference between formal and, daily life ministries.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that.
Mm. Talking about, if I can butt in here.
Right.
Talking about that whole thing of, the different aspects of ministries, I always think back to that scripture where it talks about us being the kings and priests of the Most High God. And the way that was shown to me one day, that there are the kings who were, in a sense, their financiers, and there were also the priests who received assistance for their priesthood from the kings. And in return, the priesthood, because there was a priesthood, it blessed the kingdom. So basically, it's a little bit of a deviation from straight out who's a minister, who's not. But basically, what it says is that it's very hard to have one without another, and both are needed. There needs to be, people who are directly in the priesthood, and there are also people who need to be, in a place of where they are able to fund those things that are done. And one will struggle without the other. If there's no priesthood, there's no blessing in a kingdom. And if there's no king, it's very hard for the priesthood to function. So, there's a symbiotic relationship there that doesn't really work without it. So ultimately I see that God has everything in place to make everything work and function really well and smoothly because he's the God of order. Most of the time when things get out of whack, it's because of us. But, you know, he's set all the precepts and all those mandates, you know, in order that everything should run well. And I think that, well, basically it's pretty clever to be, you know, to have it all sorted out. So there are people that do one thing and there are people that do another, and they all directly intertwine and they all serve each other in a sense, because, but at the same time they're actually serving a higher purpose.
And this has been set aside since the very beginning in this fashion. I mean, God is a God of order. Like you said, isn't it wonderful that he does these things just this way? When he split the tribes of Israel and said, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, he set aside the tribe of Levi and said, you are the priests who will serve in my temple, and you're not going to go out and labor, you're not going to do this, the people will bring you offerings and sacrifices, and this is what you'll live off of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has been his idea all along, is, you know, there's going to be a certain set aside of people who are going to, whose job, quote-unquote, is to serve God.
Yes.
That their only job is to serve God. But we all serve God, only they do it professionally full-time.
And I didn't mean to belittle that at all, Larry. Good point.
There's a class of ministry that's in between personal, you as an individual, and formal ministry. And that's a kind of an informal ministry that you do with a group of other Christians, not in an organized sense where you get support, but as a service that you get to do. One example for me is a Bible study that I run out of my house once a week. It's a group of people, and you know, I provide the house, you know, I lead, but different members of the group teach or lead the teaching, and so it's a group endeavor to host the Bible study, and it's more than a Bible study. It's actually we call it a home church building up the body of Christ as one cell of the larger group.
Mm.
Okay, if we can, for just a second, I'd like to explore something that Larry said in his earlier comments, and maybe you can expound upon what you said, where you were defining the difference between a mission and a ministry, and can a ministry therefore incorporate the mission, or can you expand on that a little bit?
We were talking about different kinds of ministry, and the dichotomy I was making there was between things that are primarily outreach, which you might call mission, and things that are directed primarily at the body of Christ and building up the body of Christ. And they're both kinds of ministry, and making a distinction and calling one mission and the other ministry, but those are just words. I mean, but those are different types of ministry. No, that was it. Just the fact that how you call things, you know, what you name them is secondary to what they really are, and that it was just two types of ministry is outreach or I don't want to call it inreach, but directed toward building up the body. Because that's the thing, is when people come to church, they're all hurting or broken or needy in some way. Only some people have actual physical needs that their brothers and sisters can address. They're in want in some way. They need to be built up in some way. They need help in some way. And so there's an enormous opportunity for helping our brothers and sisters within the church, and that's a kind of ministry. And then there are things that are primarily outreach. Like, for example, my wife is part of a group that knits baby blankets for children in Uganda. We have a connection with a hospital there, and what they want to do is to send the new babies home with a blanket to keep them warm and little hats to keep their heads warm. And so these women spend all their time knitting baby blankets. And then what we would do is we would ship used computer equipment to a school there and pack the equipment with the baby blankets and ship a container out once a year or so. But I mean, that's an outreach. Well, it's actually, I don't even know how to categorize that, but that's a group of people just getting together, fulfilling a need. And it's both outreach in the sense that you're spreading you're doing a service that to other people, but it's also building up the body because a whole lot of these people are Christians.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's awesome. It also gives Christians there an opportunity to minister.
Absolutely.
And Tim, yours is very much the same way. Seeds of Harvest is very much an outreach type of ministry to, as far as mission based, where you're bringing the word of God to people, but really on the premise of filling a need first, an actual physical need, right?
Well, I have to say, I kind of built that model off of something Josh McDowell said once, and he was another person who used to go to Russia a lot and do the same type of ministry. He said, it's great to go out and tell people about God, but they can't hear you over the rumbling of their stomachs. And really, you have to address, I mean, there's a hierarchy of need. You know, you've got to save someone's life. You got to feed them and make sure they're not starving or hungry before you can. And in doing so, you show, I care about you, I love you, and I have some interest in who, what, and how you are, which gives you a relationship. And that establishes an inroad to the things. Say, well, why are you doing this? Or why? You know, why would you help me? And you can then expound on, because God loves you, and because of God loves you, I love you. And you open up a whole realm of being able to talk to them. But yeah, it's like the square and the rectangle. All missions are ministries, but not all ministries are missions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
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 So, you know, in our case, you know, we have a ministry that is, we have a mission that is a ministry. But I also have a ministry that is just my living my everyday life. And going to work and letting people see what, you know, a Christian life looks like, and being there for people in need to pray for them and things like that. So, I mean, every person can operate on a different level.
I was actually talking about this with someone the other day, talking about how, like you said, Tim, that they can't hear you above the rumbling of their stomachs. I was discussing the difference between what we know as mainstream religion and how that, you know, is in essence trying to please God and make ourselves good enough for Him, as opposed to having a relationship and accepting the fact that we aren't, but through the cross, through what Jesus did, that makes us acceptable. Now I've lost my point. And how, you know, Jesus did, the things that Jesus did were practical. Yeah, he didn't do party tricks. They were practical things. You know, he fed people, he healed them, you know, made them see, and things that pertain to their real world and their real lives. And he calls us to do the same thing. And I think, you know, in some areas, as we've been talking about, you know, he calls us to specific things. But in our everyday life, he calls us to, I guess, where possible, that we see a need like that, if we can do something about it, we do so, and if we can't do something about it, we ask Him to do something about it. But it's, you know, always on a practical level, because it speaks volumes when people are healed or when people are fed. You know, it's well, they say actions speak louder than words. So, you know, whatever capacity we're called to serve in, if we, you know, we do that to its fullest, you know, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what he asks, that we obey what we're called to do. Sometimes I guess that in some ways, you know, it can change. In some ways that are, you know, some, I know that there's certain situations where you're not always sure what to do or something like that, but God always comes through with the answer, or, you know, what's needed. And that's the thing, like if he's called us, it says that, you know, that where he calls, he equips. So he gives us what is necessary to do what he's asked us to do. And, you know, he calls each one of us to a different a different thing, and that does that can change in time. But if we do what we're called to do at the time, then he's made that the perfect time and place for that person, for that ministry, to be able to go in and work in that area. You know, it's like it's just another marvel of him. So, yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm dominating tonight, but the first half of that really sounded to me like a very good explanation of James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Yeah,
he's very practical. First, I want to go help people.
Yeah.
Second, I say, you know, and equally as important, but second is that I want you to be above what's going on around you. You know, I mean, religion, we use that word a lot. A lot of people use that word, and it comes very, very much like a weapon sometimes. Oh, you and your religion, you know.
It's yeah.
Like, your Bible.
You know. But the fact of the matter is, God says religion is helping one another and not becoming part of the world, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, how much clearer does it really get? Then we tie it up with a whole bunch of stuff that is not really necessary. It's a shame.
Well, that's the thing is, religion has a bad name, and that's because people do not practice the pure religion. You know, religion is how we worship God and how we and what we do to Him. But if what we do in service to Him is to reach out to the poor and the destitute, and if what we do in service to Him is to spread the gospel, then that is the pure religion.
Yes.
You know, and today,
I like that.
To call something is having a spirit of religion is really to alter what God called religion, and that is religion has become the set of rules that man has put around the worship of God, and instead of being about God, it's about following all these rules and laws and stuff like that. That's the practice of religion. And it's really nothing to do with what God said religion truly is. It's all about us now, you know. And it's,
say it again, your definition there. Pure religion is
James 1:27. Mm-hmm. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Which translation is that?
New King James.
Yeah, I was looking at in the NIV, which is very similar.
I'm all for reading it different ways, Larry. If you want to, if it says something different.
No, that's fine. I clicked over to New King James so I could read it. Yeah, that's very good.
Well, the Authorized Version says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world." I think it's almost the exact same words.
Yep.
So they got that one right.
Well, I reckon my version's right.
Second opinions?
Yeah.
There you have it. Conversation on the purpose of the church. Well, join us next time for Grace Junkies. There's only one more thing to add. As deep or as complicated as these conversations can get, I would like to remind everyone that the Christian life is as simple as a relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We at Grace Junkies may disagree on individual points, but we love each other. And we hope that you have a relationship with the Lord because He loves you. Thank you for joining us.